You're listening to the Real Church Podcast. Real Church is located in Chicago, Illinois. For more information, please visit realchicago.com.
Okay, so those who don't know me, I am Tani. I'm one of the teachers here at Real Church. Okay, thank you. Today, I wanted to continue our discussion of our imprint series that we're going through. So we are learning about how God created us to reflect his nature in this world. That's really what imprint is. We were created in his image to reflect his image. And so the imprint series is trying to help us understand, how were we created? What are some of the spiritual gifts that God's given us? How did he make our heart? What abilities do we have? What are our experiences? What is our personality? Like, all of these are kind of like a blueprint, right? They're like a map taking us to understanding who we are, to understand what our calling is. So before we get into abilities, which is what I'm going to talk about today, I'm going to open up to a discussion. You guys are going to talk with each other, all right? Sorry, introverts, you're going to have to like talk to people. I know how hard that is because I'm an introvert too, and I'm like, oh no, why do they make me talk to people? But it's okay. This is a safe place. Everybody knows you. Everybody loves you. We're Christians. Yay. Okay. So what I wanted to begin today with is a question. What skills, abilities, talents do you have? And they could be anything. You could be good at wiggling your ears. I feel like that's a talent. I can't do that. Maybe you're good at woodworking. Maybe you're good at music. I don't know what it is. So I'm going to allow you guys to hang out with each other and just share what you're good at. Who feels comfortable sharing what they're good at? All right, Siobhan.
Sleeping. I'm really good at it. Like anywhere. But train, floor, I'm right at work. And just in 5 minutes, I will be like in
there. That is a talent, sleeping. I agree. That is a masterful skill. Yeah, I don't have that. So I will stay awake on a plane the entire time and feel horrible once I arrive to my location. So that's awesome. Nick. You can open doors with your feet? That's great. Just in case, you never know. All right, Pastor Mike. Yes. You're good at winning. That's what it is. Anybody else want to share? All right, did anyone have a hard time coming up with something? Like, you can only think of the things you're, like, not good at? Yeah? Jody, what are you not good at?
We don't have time.
Hey!
Lots.
Lots.
Like, crafts. I love crafts, but I'm horrible at it. I'm always the last one to get done in school.
Yes. Yes. Yes, she is. Yes, she is. And I think, Madge, I think you're right, though, is sometimes we focus so much on the negatives. When somebody asks you, like, what are you good at? There's, like, two personality types, where the one personality type's going to be like, I'm the best at everything. Like Darren. Darren was all like, do you have to share everything? Yeah. Marlon, too, you're like, oh, give me an hour. I will share. And then there's another group of people that are like, oh, I'm horrible at everything. And you start to compare yourself. You start to hear other people go, well, I'm good at singing. And then you're like, oh, you're better at it than I am. So I'm horrible at singing. And if we're not perfect at it, then we're not good at it. It's not an ability. And that's what I think we struggle with a lot of times, is that we compare our abilities with other people. And that's not what God intended. Not at all. And we diminish what God has gifted us in. We say it's not good enough. But again, who are we to say to God, you didn't make me right? You can't tell the creator that he did something wrong. He's the creator. He had his intentions. So part of this series is understanding, how did he make me? What is actually right with me? Let's not focus on what's wrong, because we will believe the lie that the world tells us there's something wrong with us. We will believe that. But we need to look at truth and see, how did God actually make us? What abilities do we actually have? So, another question, this is not a trick question. What do you use your abilities for? It's not a trick question. Just shout it out.
Welcoming others.
Welcoming others, yep. You're really good at that, Madge, too. I always feel welcomed every Sunday. What else? Fixing things. I appreciate that. I need that in life. I break everything, and I don't know how to fix anything. Heather, who's not here, she came to my house to put a piece of furniture together for me because I can't. I will spend 7 hours, and then I will break it. is it because you enjoy it? Right? Some of the stuff you do is just because you enjoy it. You're good at it. It comes easy to you. Some of it is you make money doing it. And that's not a bad thing. Like, that's not the trick question here. God wants you to make money. That's fine. Like, that's okay. But I think if we're only using it to make money, that's when it kind of trips up a bit. And for other people, it's because God told you to do it. That's the only reason why you have that ability and you're doing that ability. Maybe you don't even want to do it, but God's like, go do that thing. Like me, go public speak. It's like, well, I don't want to do that. And he's like, I don't care. I made you to do that. Go do that. And I can't tell you how many times in my life God has put me in a position to speak. And I just want to be silent. But he's given me the ability. So I'm obedient and I do it. Amen. So some of what we do for our careers is because we've been given abilities from God. Some of it is we don't have the abilities and God shows up and it's amazing. And you're like, I didn't even do that. Thank you, Lord, for filling in the margin. Like, that's amazing. And some of our abilities will just be passion projects. They'll just be crafts that you like to do and it doesn't amount to anything, but you enjoy it. And that's good. Like, enjoy what God has given you. If you have the ability to craft, if you have the ability to make things, like, I love to write. I will write the rest of my life. I don't care if nothing comes of it. It doesn't matter. I sit and I enjoy it. So enjoy it. Figure out what you like to do and enjoy it. All right. This leads me to another question. This is the time of year, back to school. All the kids are taking their really cute pictures in front of their house, holding a sign. This is my niece right here. I asked permission. I like, Sky, can I post a picture of your picture? And she got so excited and also really embarrassed because she realized it's going to be shown here. But something that I always think is interesting, a lot of the signs is, when I grow up, I want to be. And she's taken a picture all over her life. And I love looking at them all throughout the years because it's, you know, a doctor. Because she, you know, watched a TV show that had doctors on it. And then it became really specific to respiratory therapist. Because my brother is a respiratory therapist. So she's like, I want to do that. That sounds cool. And she keeps changing what she wants to do by the people she's surrounded by. But lately, it's been artist. And it's because she's found a passion for making art. She's really talented at it. All the other kids will see her and see how good she is, and they'll take her and mentor her and teach her. And it's amazing because I'm good at like graphic design on the computers. I cannot with my hands at all. And she can. And so it's super fun because she wants to be an artist now, and her hero is Bob Ross. Which, if you're gonna have a hero, like, why not? He's happy little tree. Exactly, exactly. But what I find frustrating is the question of, what do I want to be when I grow up? That's the question we get asked a lot. And we're told that we could be anything we want to be, which is a lie. Sorry to break that to you guys. If you didn't know yet, it's a lie. You can't be anything you want to be. For myself, as a kid, I wanted to be an astronomer. That was my passion. I know, so not where I'm at in life right now, obviously. But I was like 7 to 10. I was like, this is my dream. I'm going to become an astronomer. I remember I watched the movie Contact, and I was like, I want to be Jodie Foster. I want to go in the middle of nowhere, be around nobody, stay awake at night, all night, you know, by myself, maybe talk to aliens. I don't know. You never know. Like, that was the dream. So every night I would go outside. I lived really far out away from the city, so I could see the stars. I would just lay on my brother's Pinto. It was broken, so I could lay on top of it. And I would just look at the stars. And I had a map, and I would figure out what were the constellations. I'm like, this is amazing. I'm going to be so good at this. I'm going to be the best astronomer ever. And then I started realizing how much math is involved in astronomy. And I'm not good at math. I know Pastor Nathan jokes around like times eights. I'm like all math bad. Like, I'm so thankful for computers. Like, just, they save me all the time. I'm horrible at math. And I went to school and I kept in the head going, I'm gonna be an astronomer, I'm gonna be an astronomer. And I would talk to teachers and they're like, what do you wanna be when you grow up? And I'm like, an astronomer and all of that. And they're like, yeah, you should go to space camp. And I'm like, no, I don't wanna be an astronaut. Like, I don't wanna go out into space. I want to be on the ground, be mission control, be the person on the computer, you know, be that guy. Spider-Man, I forgot his name. I want to be that guy. So I got to school and realized I suck at math. Every math class I went to, I barely passed, which is, I'm a straight A student, and it was so humiliating. Like, I could just not understand it. And all the teachers would just give me like an A, I think, because I tried so hard. It wasn't because I was good at it. Like, it was, I never knew what I was doing. I would just show up and they're like, no, participation, you know, like you tried. And so I finally had to come to the conclusion that I'm just never going to be an astronomer. My God did not gift me with that ability with math, and that's okay. And I've gotten over it, you know, 20 something years later, I've gotten over it. So I think for us is we need to rephrase the question, what do I want to do versus what did God create me to do? I think that's the biggest question we need to start asking our kids. We need to start asking ourselves is, what did God create me to do? Because when we put that pressure on ourselves that we can be whatever we want to be and it doesn't happen, you feel guilt, you feel shame, you feel stupid, you feel like you're not enough. The world told you that you could be an astronomer, but you can't. You don't have the math skills. Oh no, there's something wrong with me. And God's saying, there's nothing wrong with you. I didn't make you that way. And that's okay. And thankfully for myself, I took all that knowledge of the stars and all of that, and I put it into my science fiction writing. So it worked out in the end. So the question is, we're asking is, what was I created for? What is my purpose? What is my calling? These are big questions. And that's why we're going through SHAPE, right? That's why we're going through this imprint series. We're trying to understand our spiritual gifts. We're trying to understand our heart and how it needs to align with God's. I think that's where we get tripped up. We need to understand our abilities, our personality, and our experience. We have been given a map, a blueprint, a direction to our callings. And all we need to do is actually look at the map. Not look at other people's maps, not try to be someone we're not meant to be, but to actually have real conversations with God, asking him, God, how did you make me? And be real with yourself, that I'm not happy with how I'm made. I want to be able to do this and that. Have those real conversations. So, what does your map look like? For some of us, our directions are going to be kind of like a Siri Google thing, where it's kind of suggestion, right? Where you get on the road and you look at, you know, turn right, and you're like, that's a lot of traffic. I'm going to keep going straight. And then it's like, turn right. It's like, yeah, okay, I'll turn right now. You know, or the map all of a sudden changes, and it's like, there's a lot of traffic, and then you're, and God's like, here, hold here. And then you're like, all right, I'll stop. It's fine. I'll stop. It's good. You can kind of like wander around, you know? I think about like the Israelites in the desert. They're just wandering around, you know, for a generation, a long time. But they were still in God's sovereignty. They were still doing what God called them to do. Yeah, they were disobedient at times, but it was still in God's will. There's other people who their map is like set in stone. You don't have a choice. You're going to do this. You're gonna go this way, you're gonna do this job, you're gonna talk to this person, that is your life. I think about that like Jonah, right? Jonah didn't really have a choice. He was called to go preach repentance to people he hated. And he did everything he could to get away. And he literally got, like, swallowed by a fish and spit out because it was God's will for him to go preach repentance. And as we know from that story, his heart really didn't change. He wasn't happy about it, but he still did what God called him to do. So some of you in this room have, like, a very unique, distinct, concrete calling. And for other people, it's more fluid. You can do whatever job you really want to do. But in both cases, we have to follow what Scripture says. In Colossians 3:17, "And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." Everything you do. Doesn't matter if you have to do it or if you want to do it. Give thanks to the Lord. Give glory to him. All right. You guys following with me? You guys good? Okay. So I'm going to kind of do a spoiler alert. I'm going to give you all 3 points now. And then we'll go through them. Because for me, sometimes I don't think the points really matter that much. It's like, I believe that, like, God's teaching you specifically what you need to hear. So I put points out there for those who need to write something down and who need to, you know, who need to be connect to God that way. And for other people, you're like, that does not apply to me. I know what my abilities are, and I give all glory to God. So this sermon's not for me. And that's okay. So point number one, admit that God has given you abilities and that they matter. I think that one's, for some, is going to be hard. Because you can admit, yeah, I got abilities, but I don't think they matter. That, where it hits you in the heart, right? It's, no, they do matter. Point number two, use your abilities for God's kingdom and not your own kingdom. I think that one's tough, especially if you're really talented. We're going to talk about Samson later. He's really talented, and he doesn't do it for God's kingdom. He does it for his own, to his downfall. And point number three, recognize that you are shaped differently than others. Ask God to help you see and to be thankful for how he created you. All right, so point number one, admit that God has given you abilities and that they matter. All gifts matter. They do. You think, oh, I'm not the president. It's okay. Your gifts matter. I'm not a pastor. It's okay. Your gifts matter. I just build homes for a living. Hey, that's important. And actually, what we're going to talk about, we're going to read about some folks who built the temple, who built the tabernacle, who built the dwelling place of God on earth. Those skills, abilities, talents matter to God. He specifically gave those abilities so that he could have a dwelling place on earth, so that people could connect to God. That is incredibly important. So if you're thinking, I just know how to put stuff together, hey, you can put the tabernacle together. That's amazing. So we're going to read through Exodus 31, 2 through 11. If you want to open up your Bibles, you can, or it'll be on the screen. Some context, the tabernacle is a temporary dwelling place. It's very important, but it's not the temple. It precedes the temple. And most of the end of Exodus is going into detail about how to build the tabernacle. So it's very important. It takes up a lot of mortgage, you know, space in the Bible. So Exodus 31, "The Lord said to Moses, 'See, I have called by name Bezalel,'" I can't say this name, I'm sorry. "'See, I have called by name Bezalel,'" that's not correct, sorry, "'the son of Uri, son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And I have filled him with the spirit of God, with ability and intelligence, with knowledge and all craftsmanship, to devise artistic designs, to work in gold, silver, and bronze, and cutting stones for setting, and in carving wood to work in every craft.'" Let me pause there. So we have this gentleman. I'm going to call him B. Make it easier for me. Sorry, guys. He's been given this amazing gift. And it specifically says that he was filled with the Spirit of God. So it's also a spiritual gift as well. It's not just an ability. He has the ability of intelligence, knowledge of all craftsmanship. Can you imagine that? Having that ability to know all craftsmanship, David, how hard is that to know all craftsmanship? Right? You hire people who are experts in specific craftsmanship. That's what you do. You have a team of people. This guy has all knowledge. He has artistic designs. He knows how to work in gold, silver, bronze. He knows how to cut stone. He knows how to carve wood. This guy is talented. And behold, I have, so verse 6. And behold, I have appointed with him Oholiab, the son of Ahisamach, of the tribe of Dan. And I have given to all able men ability that they make all that I have commanded you. This is what they're going to make. The tent of meeting, the ark of the testimony, and the mercy seat that is on it, and all the furnishings of the tent, the table and its utensils, and the pure lampstands with all its utensils, and the altar of incense, and the altar of burnt offerings with all its utensils, and the basin and its stands, and the finely worked garments, the holy garments for Aaron the priest, and the garments of his sons for their service as priests, and the anointing oil and the fragrant incense for the holy place. According to all that I have commanded you, they shall do. That is a long list, right, of all that they can do. I'm amazed at that. I've sat at that. Me and Pastor Nathan have talked about this verse over and over again. Because when he said, you're doing abilities, I'm like, what does that mean? Like, that's so, like, big to me. And he's like, go to Exodus. You'll read it. You'll understand it. And right here, there really is. There's so many abilities that are wrapped up into this. Not only is it all the different woods and all of that, it's the focus is about God, right? They're building these things to worship God, to connect with God. They're creating the priesthood right here. They're creating the place where the priests will worship. They're creating the place where people are going to sacrifice to God. This is huge. So spiritual gifts and abilities, they can be the same thing, but they can also be separate. Because if we look at Dan didn't receive the same thing. Or not Dan, sorry. Oholiab didn't receive the same thing. He didn't receive the Spirit of the Lord came upon him and gave him these gifts. It was that he was called to do it. He was given these abilities to do this. How many abilities did this take? Countless, right? I'm sure this is only just a small list. I'm sure it could go on and on and on. And all of this was to teach people how to worship God properly. That's why God's writing about it, right? It's how am I worshiped? All right, so now we're going to move a little further into history. We're now going to go into the first temple. So we have the tabernacle, and then now we have the temple, which was a big deal. Israel was waiting for the temple to be built. They were waiting and waiting, and then King Solomon came to build the temple. It took 7 years for this temple to be built. And it took Solomon 13 years to build his palace, which kind of shows you that he cared more about his kingdom than God's kingdom. But yet, God still used him in a mighty way to build his temple. So if you read in 1 Kings 7, 13 to 14, it says, "And King Solomon sent and brought Hiram from Tyre. He was the son of a widow in the tribe of Naphtali. And his father was a man of Tyre, a worker in bronze. And he was full of wisdom, understanding, and skill for making any work in bronze. He came to King Solomon and did all his work." The reason why I want to talk about Hiram is because we always talk about Solomon. We always talk about how he built it. He did build. He did provide resources. But he also brought people on to his team that could do the work. So you have Hiram, who is also a king in his own right, has come, and he's come as a bronze worker. He's been given this ability to build a temple. I just sit there and I think, how amazing is that? Because the stuff that I build for my job, I'm in marketing, so I build emails, and I send out emails that 58% of people open, which I'm like, yay, high open rates. This is amazing. But it's just an email, and they look at it, and then they delete it. You know, it's like, I spent so long, and they deleted it. But they read it, so that's cool. And did they really read it, or did they just open it up? I don't know. You know, it's sometimes hard for me, because I think, oh, my abilities, they don't mean anything. But then I stop, and I think about, like, that's not true. God checks me. He He's like, no, they matter. That what you're doing matters. It may not seem like it at the moment, but eventually, who knows what will happen. I don't know. I get excited. Okay. So sometimes it's easy to see how our abilities translate to God's kingdom, and sometimes it's hard. And we're going to go now into the future. We're going to go into Acts. So now we're going to talk about Paul. So Paul was a tent maker. He had the ability to make tents. But for some of us, we only concentrate on what Paul's missionary journeys were and all just great things that Paul did, right? He really built the church. But we forget that he just had a job too. He was a tent maker. That's what he did for a living. The church didn't have to fund him. He funded himself. And he also has two other people a part of his business. And I'm going to read to you guys about these awesome people. In Acts 18, 1 through 4. After this, Paul left Athens and went to Corinth. And he found a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had commanded all the Jews to leave Rome. And he went to see them, and because he was of the same trade, he stayed with them and worked, for they were tent makers by trade. And he reasoned in the synagogues every Sabbath and tried to persuade Jews and Greeks. So we kind of get a glimpse into Paul's life right here, is that on the Sabbath, on Sundays, he would go preach. But the rest of the week, he was building tents. I think that's super important to concentrate on, is that right now, you guys are here, and you guys are serving the Lord in whatever capacity you're doing it in. Like Nick, for example, he's serving the Lord with sound. I can't do sound, and that is an ability he has. It's a spiritual gift, but I also say it's an ability. He has an ear that I do not have, right? We have all these different abilities in this church that we come together and we worship God together using our abilities, but then also throughout the rest of the week, you go and do your jobs. But that still brings glory to God. That's still, you're working with God. Some of you may not see it that way, and that's kind of what one of my big asks is, to stop and reflect on that. How am I glorifying God in my work? You do not have to give up your occupation to be effective for God. You don't. You can do both, like Paul. Paul kept his day job. You can too. So this leads us to point number two. Use your abilities for God's kingdom and not your own kingdom. So we're going to go into Matthew. This is another example of people being called for their abilities. Jesus is calling the disciples. He's creating a whole group of people to follow him around and to teach them about his ways. So he's going to call some fishermen, which again, that's their day job. They are fishermen. So Matthew 4:18 through 22. While walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. And he called them. Immediately, they left the boat and their father and followed him. So unlike Paul, they had to give up their day jobs. Paul got to continue being a tent maker. John and the gang had to drop their nets and follow after God. So it's going to be the same for you guys. Some, you're going to have to leave your job. Some, you stay in your job. It's all up to God. And God had given them specific skills as fishermen. He was able to speak to them and say, "I will make you fishers of men." And they understood what that meant. Unlike me, I don't really fish. So I'm like, yes, it's so poetic. But I'm sure they're seeing all the nuances to that, of everything that entails, of being patient, of waiting for someone to take the bait, of spending hours serving for the Lord, right? There's so much to that statement, to fishers of men, that only a fisherman's really going to know. It's the same thing. What God's calling you to do, your calling can make no sense to me. I can go, why are you doing that thing? That makes no sense. And to you, because God made you that way, you're like, no, God is speaking to my heart. That's exactly what I needed to hear. That's exactly what I was made to do. And as a church, we encourage one another. We go follow after God, pray, pray about everything, walk in the strength of the Lord. These are our axioms, right? These are the things that we always say because we want to encourage one another to follow your calling, to follow God. Okay, now we're going to move into someone who did not do things for God's kingdom. But here, I want to preface. What I find amazing is we can say, well, he didn't do this for God's glory. But God can use anything for his glory. And the reason why I know that he is using Solomon or Samson for his glory is because he's in the Bible and we're talking about him, right? We're talking about him on a Sunday. To me, that shows that, yes, God can use anyone for his glory. So Samson has been given great power. He has been set apart to do great things for God. And instead of using that power for God, he used it for himself. He fell in lust. I wouldn't call it love. He fell in lust with Delilah, and Delilah wanted to take him down, and she eventually did, but it was really his own ego took him down. Let's just be honest. Delilah was just there. So Samson, unfortunately, was taken, imprisoned by the enemy, his enemy, and he was going to be killed. And instead of killing him straight off, they taunted him. They messed with him. They made him perform. They made him do the tricks, the abilities God's given him, these powerful, he had powerful strength. One of the strongest men that we read about in the Bible. And they would just take him out and become a laughingstock. Like, here, just move this building, do this thing, ha ha ha, and mock God. They're not mocking Samson. They're mocking God. So Samson finally is fed up. He's tired. He doesn't want to be mocked anymore. He's lost his eyes. He's got a whole list of things wrong with him. And he wants vengeance. Not on behalf of God, but just personally for himself. So we read this in Judges 16:25-30. While they were in high spirits, they shouted, "Bring out Samson to entertain us." So they called Samson out of the prison, and he performed for them. When they stood him among the pillars, Samson said to the servant who held his hand, "Put me where I can feel the pillars that support the temple so that I may lean against them." Now the temple was crowded with men and women. All the rulers of the Philistines were there. And on the roof was about 3,000 men and women watching Samson perform. Then Samson prayed to the Lord, "Sovereign Lord, remember me. Please, God, strengthen me just one more and let me with one blow get revenge on the Philistines for my two eyes." Then Samson reached toward the two central pillars on which the temple stood, bracing himself against them, his right hand on the one and his left hand on the other. Samson said, "Let me die with the Philistines." Then he pushed with all his might, and down came the temple and the rulers and all the people in it. Thus he killed many more when he died than while he lived. It frustrates me to read that because I'm like, yeah, bye Philistines, yeah. But then also realizing that, man, he was called to do such amazing things. He is a judge of Israel. He's a warrior. And yet he did it all for himself. And it destroyed him. Yes, yes, thousands of people died at the very end. God was not going to waste Samson's life. But still frustrating, because Samson could have been involved in it. He could have walked hand in hand with God. Instead, he walked on his own, and in the end, it killed him. Not saying that's going to happen to you guys. I'm not here to bring a spirit of fear in here. What I'm asking you is, I'm encouraging you to whatever you're called to do, do it with God, with him. You get to do it for him, but do it with him. You don't have to do it alone. You don't have to do it for your glory. You don't have to do it at the very end when you're just done fighting. You're like, fine, just take me. Pull the, you know, you just push and then everything falls on you. And you're like, well, at least I did it for God at the very end. You don't have to do that. You can spend your entire life doing things with God. So some of you may be thinking, well, I don't really have like God-given strength. How do I relate to this? This leads us to point number three. Recognize that you are shaped differently than others. Not all of us have super strength. Some of you guys probably do. I don't know. I mean, honestly, you're stronger than I am, so I think super strength. And ask God to help you see and be thankful for how he created you. I think that's the biggest thing, right? Is we gotta go to our creator and thank him for what he's given us. So I'm gonna share one more story. We're gonna go back to Peter. So Peter was called from being a fisherman to be a fisher of men. And as we know that some of the Bible story goes is he rejected Jesus. And then later on, Jesus, he repented and said, I'm sorry. And Jesus forgave him. And so I'm cutting right into the middle of this. He has just pretty much told Peter, I forgive you. This is what I'm calling you to do. Build my church. This is what you're called to do. Build my church. And he also kind of foreshadows Peter's death. At the time, I'm sure Peter's like, I don't really know what that means. But John, who's writing the gospel, is like, oh, that's what that meant, is Peter's going to die this way. So Peter's just received this, like, great news. To me, it's like, oh, to be told exactly by God what he wants you to do. Doesn't some of you guys really want that? Nope. Like, probably some of you are like, I don't, that's great, calling, map, where's the map at? I don't know. I can't read. It's hard. It's frustrating. But here's Peter going, listening from Jesus saying, this is what you're going to do. How amazing is that? And then this is, like, Peter's response. Peter turned and saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following them. So the disciple who Jesus loved is John. John's writing this so he can say whatever he wants about himself, which makes me laugh really hard. This is my favorite. Me and Pastor Nathan crack about this all the time. So Peter turned and saw the disciples whom Jesus loved following them, the one who also had leaned back against him during the supper and had said, Lord, who is it that's going to betray you? So John's just inserted himself in there, like, remember that guy? I'm that guy. When Peter saw him, he said to Jesus, Lord, what about this man? Jesus said to him, if it is my will that he remain until I come, what is that to you? You follow me. So the saying spread abroad among the brothers that this disciple was not to die. Yet Jesus did not say to him that he was not to die. But if it is my will that he remain until I come, what is that to you? This is the disciple who will be bearing witness about these things and who has written these things, and we know that his testimony is true. So that's John. I mean, Peter's like, what about this guy? Like, you just told me I'm going to build the church and I'm going to die? But you just told John he's going to live. That's not fair. I want his calling. I want to live. And I love Jesus' response is like, what's that to you? Like, you follow me. You do what I told you to do. And so doesn't that hurt your ego? You're like, no, I get to do what I want to do. I get to be anything I want to be. I live in America, right? No, that is not what Jesus' response is. He's saying, no, you follow me. And what I love about this is that Peter's looking at John and he's comparing, which I'm saying, do not compare. It's going to rob you of joy just immediately. And it's going to take the focus away from God and it's going to be put back on you and not on what God's calling you to do. In the end, Peter built the church. Like, how amazing is that? That's amazing. And John wrote this gospel that we get to read and we get to know about God. Both did amazing things for God, but it just looks differently. And the problem is you get infighting because you want to be the same. And I'm here telling you, you're not the same. You are all different. You are all made uniquely. You're different. Stop trying to compare and stop trying to be like somebody else. Because both of these men matter to the kingdom. They do. The kingdom is forever changed because of their obedience. And I'm telling you now, the kingdom is forever changed because of the obedience in this room. I know you guys would not believe me, but it's the truth. So as I wrap up, why are you at Real Church? Why are you in Chicago? Why this time? Why 2019? Why do you have these gifts? Why do you have these abilities? I want you to ask these questions of yourself. What is God asking you to do? This is going to help you build this map I've been talking about. So application this week, or for the rest of your life, because I feel like it will always keep coming up, because you're going to be in a different city, and you're like, wait, why am I here? I was just in Chicago. Oh no, it's a different map. It looks different. That's okay. So here's simple application. Write down which abilities you have. Even if you don't think you're good at them, write them down. Ask your spouse, friends, family, and the community the question, what am I good at? Because I'll tell you, it's easier for other people to tell you what you're good at than yourself. That's why in community is important. Pray and ask God how you can use those abilities for his kingdom. Maybe is a moment where God's like, I told you not to take that job, so this is what you're good at, go take this other job. Or maybe for you it's confirmation of, oh, I did listen to you correctly. I did that right. Thank you, God, thank you, God, thank you, God. And then give thanks for his generosity. He's generously giving you these gifts and abilities. You don't just have one ability, you have multiple. And for so many of you, your jobs, your income is because of what God's given you. So thank him for that. What I loved studying scripture today is seeing all the different ways that people are talented and hearing from you guys as well, as hearing your guys' gifts and talents. I mean, Nick, I had no idea that you could open up doorknobs with your feet. I think that's amazing. You never know, like you might break both your arms and you can still get out of a room. So I think that's really important. You never know. For such a small community, we have such the possibility of a big impact. We talk about it all the time, is how talented you guys are. It's amazing, and it's because of God. So I'm gonna ask the worship team to come up, and I'm just going to end a quote from Paul, from Romans. This is what it is, right? He, in 12:1, he says, I appeal to you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. It's all worship. What you do is worship. What you do for a living, what you do at school, all of it is worship. The crafts that you do, all of it can be worship if you let it be worship, if you make it about God and not about yourself. Thank you, guys.